Good morning, you. Welcome to the Papers Podcast for Tuesday, the 26th of March, 2024. How are you this morning? I hope you're well. Thank you for downloading the podcast. As usual, straight to the front pages of today's newspapers, The Eye. UK Cabinet clash on how to fight China spy threat. Now this, the papers, many of the papers are leading with this story. And this is China formally accused by the British government yesterday of being behind malicious cyber campaigns against MPs and also against the UK's elections watchdog. The Eye newspaper says the cabinet is divided on how to respond to this grave threat from China, adding that MPs who have reportedly been targeted are underwhelmed by the response to sanction two individuals and one Chinese company. The Chinese government has repeatedly denied accusations of espionage and wrongdoing. This one, I suppose, you can file this under, maybe we should create a new filing cabinet, maybe, for stories where governments, international governments, treat their populations, treat their citizens as if they are blithering idiots. They all do it. Every country in the world has intelligence agencies that are spying on and hacking on every other country in the world. It's ludicrous to suggest that China is doing it. The terrible Chinese, but we're so good and decent and virtuous, we wouldn't do that sort of thing. What bollocks, anyway. The Daily Express, bad language very early today. Tory MPs, we now must label China a threat to Britain. Ian Duncan Smith took part in a press conference yesterday. He alleges the Chinese have been targeting him and others like Tim Lawton. They say because we have been critical of Beijing, of the Chinese regime. And I don't buy this, you know. I don't think China gives a damn or even a rat's ass about Ian Duncan Smith or any other politician who might be critical of how the Chinese government operates in China. So I don't buy it. But anyway, what do I know, you know? On the front page of the Express, there is a photograph of Esther McVeigh, the Conservative Party MP. She's down on her haunches. She's got a high-vis jacket on and a blue safety hat you often see worn by construction workers with her name on it. She is urging councils to fix the nation's roads and potholes. Good luck, love. Good luck with that. Politicians have been calling for the roads to be fixed for years and years and years and years. And the roads get progressively worse. The Daily Mail. Fury at feeble rebuke to China. As I said, most of the papers leading with this today. Daily Mail says fury. The paper says Rishi Sunak, the UK Prime Minister, is under mounting pressure to finally get tough with China. I don't believe the Mail because I did read the article. It doesn't offer any suggestions as to exactly how Sunak could get tough with China. There isn't any way you can get tough with China. There's nothing you can do about China. Whatever China wants to do, China will do. It's so heavily invested in the UK economy, of course, and there's nothing any politician can do about this. The Times. China said to be declared a threat to national security. Same. No point in me reading out that. Photograph on the front page of a big old tractor. A convoy of tractors blocked roads outside the House of Commons yesterday, demanding that the government takes real action to protect food security and to support farmers in the UK. That's an important story, and I've been trying to reach out to one or two people to get some comment for the Richie Allen Show, because it is a hugely important story. But as of yet, I've not been able to persuade a farmer to come on. But I'll continue to try. So that's an important one. So yeah, Times leading with China. The Daily Mirror, the Kate effect is the headline. Photograph of Kate Middleton. And the Mirror says there's been a massive reaction, public reaction, to the Princess of Wales video where she said she was receiving treatment for cancer. The paper says her video message has triggered a spike in online searches about cancer. The Sun headline, same story. Brave Kate saves lives. She sparks huge surge in cancer symptom checks. The Guardian. Israel isolated after UN Security Council demands Gaza ceasefire. Front page of The Guardian. The Guardian is the only newspaper leading with this. Now, Israel isn't happy. When is Israel happy? We're referring to an entire nation now as one entity, Israel. So we should say the Israeli government isn't happy. Because a UN security resolution passed calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza, but also for the immediate release of all hostages held by Hamas. Excuse me. The United States abstained from voting on the resolution, breaking with tradition. Ordinarily, the United States goes along with whatever Israel wants it to do and usually vetoes any resolution condemning Israel for whatever, right? But anyway, it abstained yesterday. 14 members of the council, including the UK, voted in favour, meaning the resolution passed. Netanyahu, the Israeli Prime Minister, said the resolution did not make the call for a ceasefire conditional on the release of the hostages, and Israel subsequently cancelled a meeting in Washington after the US declined to veto this resolution. So it's all getting a little bit tetchy. So it is. Approaching 35,000 people dead in Gaza, many thousands more undiscovered lying under the rubble. This resolution should have been passed in November, in my opinion. And in my opinion, a no-fly zone should have been declared covering the entire Gaza Strip. And if you're not familiar with a no-fly zone, what you would be doing there is you'd basically be saying to the Israelis, if you put a plane in the sky over Gaza, we'll shoot it down. You will stay in your box and you will not continue to rain hellfire and damnation down on the Palestinians. This should have happened 4 or 5 months ago, but it didn't. Anyway, so that's The Guardian. At least it's gone with Israel. No other paper really is giving it much coverage. The Metro. Drink, drive, death of our angels. This is a horrible story. A terrible, terrible story about a crash or an accident in Plymouth where a mum and her 5-year-old child were killed by a car. A 74-year-old woman has been arrested on suspicion of causing death by careless driving and driving while unfit through drink or drugs. There's a photograph of the beautiful little girl and her mum. It's awful. Don't drink and drive. Don't fucking drink and drive. Do not get into a car under the influence of anything. Don't be part of this me culture. Think of other people. Take an Uber, take a taxi. Don't fucking drive. You hypocrite, Richie. I'm not a hypocrite. When we lived in Spain years ago, I did confess there were times when I got into the car with a drink in me. So I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not pontificating. But I have never done it since, and I couldn't possibly do it now. It's horrendous. I'm ashamed that on more than one occasion, I jumped in the car for a short trip, but it's no excuse whatsoever. And if I had been caught, if I'd been arrested and disqualified, I would have deserved every bit of it. I was a much younger man and an idiot. Don't get in a car with a drink in you. Don't. You know. Anyway, The Telegraph. Headline, secret court for speeding and TV fines must end. We'll come back to that. There's also a photograph of the tractor convoy on The Telegraph's front page too. The Financial Times leads with a story about Boeing. Boeing chief Calhoun to step down in shake-up after door panel safety crisis. Now, this is kind of interesting. So he's the CEO and the chair of Boeing, and he's going to step down in an attempt to draw a line under this crisis about safety and basically Boeing's safety record. And this comes, says the Financial Times, after an unused door blew out of a Boeing 737 MAX jet in January, shortly after takeoff. What's interesting is I was listening to the BBC's Wake Up to Money programme this morning, and Michael O'Leary, the boss of Ryanair, has been very critical of Boeing. O'Leary has also been saying that Ryanair has not been delivered as many aircraft as it wants and needs, and Ryanair is warning that ticket prices with Ryanair will certainly be higher this summer than maybe passengers are expecting. But he's not happy with the CEO and chair of Boeing standing down. O'Leary says this guy's a good guy and he knows what he's doing. He says the problems are really on the factory floor. But I would say, well, shouldn't the CEO be right across any business? You know, I don't mean micromanaging it, but in the case of safety, you'd imagine the CEO should be right across what's going on the factory floor. But what the feck do I know? The Daily Star. Don't panic, but vampires and zombies do walk among us. And I know zombies walk amongst us. I mean, Jesus wept. I remember what went on in 2020. Zombies walk amongst us. There's no doubt about it. Some of them are still walking amongst us wearing their face masks in late March of 2024. Morons, muppets, fuckwits, I would call them. So vampires and zombies do walk amongst us. What is it about? Well, the Daily Star is urging people not to panic about it. Psychological disorder expert Dr. Brian Sharpless has told the Star there are people who have a desire to drink blood for sexual pleasure, as well as people who believe their organs are rotting from the inside. So this is about a boffin talking about the disturbing views held by some people. There are people who get off on weird and bizarre things, and we should maybe pay more attention to it, says this guy, Professor Brian Sharpless. Maybe we'll give him a call and ask him to talk about zombies and vampires on the Richie Allen Show for the crack. Maybe we won't. You're listening to The Papers, the 26th of March, 2024. I'm Richie Allen. How are you? I'm not going to dwell too much on the China story, but the Times front page story is China is said to be declared a threat to national security. So the Deputy Prime Minister, Oliver Dowden, took to his feet in the Commons yesterday and said, be scared of China. China is running a campaign, a cyber attack campaign. It's a massive, massive, big operation to repress critics, to compromise government institutions, and to steal trade secrets. Of course, no proof was proffered by the UK government, nor has any proof been offered by the US government. So Britain and the United States have joined forces, surprise, surprise, to accuse China of launching a prolific global campaign of cyber attacks, targeting the personal information of politicians, journalists, academics, and millions of voters. I say horse manure, but what do I know? Nothing, maybe. Maybe I know nothing. Like I said, they're all doing it. They're all doing it all of the time. They're doing it now. And by they all, Western governments, Eastern governments, Middle Eastern governments, they've all got massive networks of intelligence agencies which are given enormous amounts of money, not only to spy, of course, on countries and on governments overseas, but also to spy on their own citizens. I find it laughable, in light of what has gone on in recent years, that the UK government will tell its people, and I suppose its people, Irishmen living and working and paying taxes in the UK, that I should somehow waste some of my time being concerned about the big threat from China. You know, the greatest danger to me, to my personal freedom, to freedom of expression and freedom of thought, is the UK government acting on behalf of this legendary, this mythical and mystical hidden hand, the architects of the Great Reset agendas. The UK government is like every other government, as far as I'm concerned. It's a puppet government. But it does what it's told, and it has launched a massive campaign against free speech, free thought, and freedom of expression in recent years. We'll talk about it in a moment, a little bit about it, in light of what Sarah Khan had to say yesterday, the social cohesion advisor to the government. So it's laughable. Be afraid of China. You know, these bastards passed the most horrific medicines without any real safety data whatsoever. They indemnified the companies who manufactured these medicines. And now the UK government is complicit, along with the UK media, in a huge cover-up, while evidence mounts that the jabs have killed thousands of people. So your government has been complicit in the murder of thousands of UK citizens. But it's telling you to be scared of Russia, to be scared of China, and to be terrified of Iran. They can take a running fucking jump. No thanks. Our enemies are far, far closer to home than the Chinese, the Russians, or the Iranians. I wonder, will there be a time really soon when you won't be able to say that? Maybe. Here's one in The Guardian. Conspiracy theories tagged hashtag Kategate grow despite Kensington Palace video. Experts are wringing their hands. I mean, the Princess of Wales made a video. She said she had abdominal surgery, and afterwards, cancerous cells were discovered and she's having treatment. Why, oh why, will the conspiracy theorists not just believe her and desist? Cease and desist with your conspiracy theorising. Hilarious, this. So the Princess of Wales might have hoped her admission, I'm reading the article now, might have hoped her admission about her cancer diagnosis would put an end to the speculation about her, but the opposite seems to be the case, with experts noting this was entirely predictable given the durability of online conspiracy theories and those who propagate them. Social media posts and websites with the hashtag Kategate, which has been used to flag unsupported theories about the princess, have increased in number since the release of an official video by Kensington Palace last Friday. There were 400 mentions of the hashtag on big social media platforms on Sunday, higher than the previous peak of 373 the previous weekend. Most prominent on Twitter, Instagram and TikTok. One video on TikTok, which has been viewed more than 200,000 times since it was posted on Sunday, claims her video could have been manipulated, referring to the use of AI imagery. The BBC has issued a statement from its Verify unit that a crew from its BBC Studios unit filmed the announcement. "We filmed it," says the BBC. "You can trust us." And then The Guardian quotes a guy called Kwasim Kassam. He's a professor of philosophy at Warwick University, and he's an expert, according to The Guardian, on conspiracy theories. He said it was common for conspiracy theories to be fueled by evidence that discounts them. "They can't be stopped," he says, "because evidence against them is treated as part of the conspiracy. This is why they are so resilient." And then they quote, The Guardian quotes Whitney Phillips, an assistant professor of digital platforms and ethics at the University of Oregon, in America, of course, and Whitney said social media users pushing these theories can also be doing it for entertainment. Hooray, hooray, we've had a holiday. Yes, we've had a holiday with Whitney from the usual bullshit of it's dangerous. It isn't dangerous. It's just entertainment. And this is a point I made myself on the Richie Allen Show last week. It's entertainment. People put out this stuff for the laugh. It isn't harmful. It is harmless. There are no victims. There are no victims here. So Kate Middleton, it's somehow injurious to her. It's somehow harmful because people make light of it, joke about it on social media. That's a nonsense. But of course, it's examples like the Kate Middleton story. These are the examples they're using to declare, to claim that something must be done about the conspiracy theories on the internet. Here's one in The Telegraph. Secret court for speeding and TV license offences, TV license fee offences, must end, magistrates urge. And they tell you China is a threat, you know. And they tell you China hates democracy and it hates our freedoms, as they continue to attack freedom in the UK. You know, prosecutions for speeding, TV license fee offences and truancy must no longer be held behind closed doors, magistrates are demanding. It's a major intervention, according to The Telegraph. The Magistrates Association, representing justices of the peace across England and Wales, well, they've called for an overhaul of the, quote, secretive single justice procedure, SJP, which has resulted in vulnerable people being prosecuted behind closed doors without being present or having any legal representation. So the Magistrates Association has told the Ministry of Justice to adopt a 12-point plan that would include opening up this single justice procedure, opening it up to accredited journalists for the first time, and greater transparency by publishing data on how many individuals are prosecuted without being present and how many plead guilty or do not make a plea. The move will intensify pressure on the Ministry of Justice to rethink these single justice procedures, under which up to 40,000 cases a month, from non-payment of TV licence to speeding, common assault and truancy, are decided in private by a single magistrate without the defendant appearing. And the Telegraph goes on to say, in the past year, there have been claims of magistrates convicting and fining defendants in less than 60 seconds. Key evidence going missing or being overlooked, and thousands of prosecutions conducted and concluded in secret. This is fucking staggering stuff, isn't it? And they talk to you about China. I mean, they're building China here in the UK, but on steroids. Every time we come on the air, we have evidence of the, you know, this government coming after free speech, free expression, freedom of thought, freedom of movement. It's hilarious. And the papers are full today, the front pages, about how we should be scared of China. Mother of God. On that story in The Sun and in The Mirror about Brave Kate. So she came out on Friday and said, I'm being treated for cancer, which is fairly plausible. I don't know why people don't believe it. You know, I'm not saying I know it's true, but I mean, why not? Cancer is everywhere, isn't it? I think it is anyway. So cancer charities and the NHS saw a surge in online traffic following her video address on Friday. The papers, The Sun, The Mirror, they quote a number of cancer specialists saying this is a good thing because it'll save lives. People are going online to check what are the common symptoms of various cancers. It might lead them to seeking medical or seeking a medical opinion. I say good luck with that. There are 7 million people waiting for an appointment in the NHS right now. But anyway, so they say, yeah, people are going online. And interestingly, Macmillan, which is a charity, Macmillan Cancer Support, says it had more than 100,000 visitors to the website between Friday and Sunday. And that is 10% higher than normal for this time of year, meaning that people are sending a few quid to Macmillan, maybe more people donating, and this will help too. So that's The Sun and The Mirror, Kate effect. The Mirror says it has an exclusive about Donald Trump. Donald Trump cult set for even more violent administration, as he compares himself to Christ. The Daily Mirror, of course, doesn't like Donald Trump. Trump's cult has reached a new low by comparing him to Jesus to legitimise how he will weaponise even the federal government against his enemies. But Trump made this same promise in 2016, didn't he? Of course, Trump is one of the biggest liars and fraudsters. I mean, he's not any worse of a fraudster than Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton or George W. Bush, but he's just another fraudster, another bullshitter, Trump, another extension of the deep state of the agenda. But, his followers were comparing him to Christ, saying he was, just as Jesus was, tried and convicted and killed before his resurrection, saying that Trump has been treated the same way by the US judicial system. You might know by now, yesterday, a New York appeals court agreed to hold off collection of a $454 million civil fraud judgment that went against him, of course. And they'll hold off if he puts up $175 million within 10 days. At the same time, they set a trial date for his hush money case. That's about Stormy Daniels, isn't it? That trial will begin on April 15th. Trump took to social media where he compared himself to Jesus. Yeah. It's going to be an absolutely mental few months in US politics. And Trump's supporters are just rabid, and they're going to become even more rabid. And nothing will convince them that this man is not the saviour they so desperately want him to be. Hey, listen, a number of papers are also going with, I won't read the story, but apparently the Russian President Vladimir Putin has changed his mind on who he believes is to blame for the attack at the theatre in Moscow, which killed at least 137 people, where gunmen, four of them have been arrested and charged, where gunmen basically piled into this theatre, started firing semi-automatic weapons, and then petrol bombed the place, I believe. Putin originally said it was Ukraine. Now he's changed his mind and he's blaming radical Islamists for the attack. What's that all about, I wonder? Speaking of radical Islamists, here's one in the Telegraph. Taliban leader says women will be stoned to death in public. How lovely. Now, this is interesting because this leader has hardly ever been seen in public and nobody knows where he is. His name is Mullah. Let me take my time on this now. It's Mullah Hibatullah Akhundzada. That's right. Mullah Hibatullah Akhundzada. He released a voice message, which was aired on state television. A voice message, not a video. This is all very feckin' weird to me. And he had a go at Western democracies in his voice message. And he said, you say it's a violation of women's rights when we stone them to death, he said. But we will soon implement the punishment for adultery. We will flog women in public. We will stone them to death in public. The Telegraph saying his harshest comments since taking over Kabul in August of 2021. It's mad, this voice message, not a video message. According to the Telegraph, he's supposed to be in southern Kandahar, the stronghold of the Taliban. He's never been seen in public, aside from a few old portraits of him. So maybe this is bullshit. It's hard to know. The UN, of course, has condemned the Taliban and called on the country's rulers to halt such practices as stoning. They say medieval, they say barbaric. I mean, those words are not sufficient to cover the horror of stoning somebody to death for anything, let alone for the accusation of adultery. It's fucking basket case stuff, you know. These Wahhabist madmen, I mean, they are a tiny, tiny minority of worldwide Muslims in terms of the way they think and the way they interpret the Sharia. They are a minority, but they are fucking nuts, aren't they? I mean, they really are, you know. Anyway, the Times, Gove to take on freedom-restricting harassment. So this is just another, the latest in a long line of exotic ways the UK government is coming after free speech, freedom of expression, and ultimately free thinking. That's what's happening. Talked about this yesterday, Sarah Khan, or Dame Sarah Khan, the government's independent advisor on social cohesion, doesn't get any more Orwellian. She said the threats and intimidation are everywhere and leading to people self-censoring because people are scared of freedom-restricting harassment. She says loud voices, people screaming abuse at people are leading to self-censorship because people fear this is a term she has coined now, freedom-restricting harassment. It's bollocks, but the UK government is going to legislate for it. Of course they are. And ultimately what this is about, it is about the Great Reset, isn't it? And that's a very catch-all term, I know that. But it is about the agendas to come and what they plan for humanity. And they've got to get their retaliation in first. Their retaliation against the free speech, the free thought, the free expression that might undermine their enslavement agenda. That's what's really going on here. So expect more and more stories and more exotic suggestions about how we can go after people basically expressing their opinions on anything the government or local authorities or bodies like the World Health Organization or the United Nations are doing. They're coming after us, people. You know this. I know this. I mean, freedom restricting harassment. Fuck off. People need to be protected from people loudly disagreeing with them. In other words, it's, she said, a pervasive, censorious culture, antithetical to our democratic way of life. There's no fucking democracy in this country. There never has been. An election looms, doesn't it? It looms. It probably won't be May now. It's going to be the autumn. And you, not me, because I won't be voting, will be given a choice of the same, more of the same, and the fucking same. Here you are. The same, more of the same, the fucking same. Pick one of those three. They are all completely captured and locked in to the agendas we talk about on the Richie Allen Show. 4 to 6pm, Monday to Thursday. That's it for today's paper. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Thank you even more for downloading it and for sharing it online. Join me later on for the Richie Allen Show. In the meantime, enjoy your Tuesday. Bye.